Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. It's great to have you here at International Church of Bishkek. We're very glad you're with us. It's September, and September is a time when we're ramping up for another season, another school year, and we've enjoyed the pace of the summer, which has been just a little bit different from the pace of the school year, but we're really looking forward to new things starting, to groups starting, to different ministries starting up at International Church of Bishkek, and we want to take this Sunday and next Sunday just to take some time to reflect together on who we really are as a church. Who are we? And how are we organized? And how is it possible for us to be more connected as a community of followers of Jesus? And so I would like to spend some time reflecting on this question. And before we go to the next slide, let me give a little bit of background. So I came to Bishkek first time in December 2012. Who can believe it was that long ago already? But almost 6 years has been a very life-giving experience for me. It's been life-giving for me being part of this community. And what we've done since we've been together is we've just spent time in different books of the Bible as we've spent our time on Sunday mornings. And so I remember starting, we did Advent from Isaiah when I first came. That was fun. Then we did some studies in the book of Acts. We did some selected Psalms. We went into the Old Testament and did some work in some of the minor prophets, so Jonah and Micah, Hosea, Malachi. We spent some time in 1 Peter. We spent some time in the Gospel of John. And through all those times in those early years, something really began to strike me. The more I had the privilege, because I was preparing every week, and I had the privilege of spending time in those different parts of the Bible, and something began to really stand out to me as, and it began to dawn on me that this must be something of a priority in God's heart. And that is this whole idea of what is it that God wants from us? What God wants from us is our hearts, actually. So God is not looking for us to be on our best behavior. God is not looking for us to do certain religious practices. What God wants most of all from us is our hearts. And there are so many places in Scripture that we can turn to discover that. So we began about 3 years ago to look at and say, well, how can we define our purpose? How can we define who we are as the International Church of Bishkek? And I'd just like to share the statement that we came up with at that time and try to highlight some of the words that have stood out as being important to me. So we can look at it in two sections here. The first part is, who are we? The answer to that is, well, we're culturally diverse, because yes, we are, coming from almost every continent of the world. Culturally diverse. Verse transient. Some of you are here new. Many people who were here in 2012 are no longer here. The nature of International Church is that there's turnover. Somebody called it pastoring a parade. You know, people going by. We are a culturally diverse, transient, multinational community living in this city. And it's this word community I want to emphasize here, that it is our desire, it's my desire, that we are really a community. A community involves this idea of connection. We don't want to be an event-based church where we just come Sunday mornings and attend, but we really desire that International Church of Bishkek would become a community, an interconnected community, so that we have friends, we learn from each other, we grow together. So we're this culturally diverse, transient, multinational community. Why are we here? And here's a statement that we came up with. We are seeking together to discover what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. Let me just emphasize some of those words. We're seeking together. So let me emphasize here what I mean by that, what we mean by that, is that this learning process here, as we're learning from the Word, is not a one-way street. Sure, I spend a lot of time, Marcus spends a lot of time, and others do preparing to give messages, and hopefully we learn through those messages. But this is not a one-way learning experience, because I learn from you, you learn from each other. And this is what we want to build in this community, this sense that what we're doing is we're seeking for something together. And what is that? We're seeking to discover And here's the thing about Christian faith. It is a pathway. It's a journey that we're on. It's not a destination that we arrive at. It's something we continually discover. God's greatness and majesty and power is bigger than what we could ever fully grasp. But we want to continue this process of discovery of God and His Word and of each other. But what are we doing? We're seeking together to discover what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. Let me try to emphasize why we're saying seeking together to discover what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. Let me point out what we're not saying here. We are not a community of people who are really trying hard to become wholehearted followers of Jesus. Let me try to give the difference between those two statements. Because if it's up to me, if it's up to who I am, if it's up to my strength to become a wholehearted follower of Jesus, I can tell you that I will fail. And so I don't want to present this idea as an idea that this is something that we're just working harder to do. No, there's something different going on here. We're seeking to discover what it really means for us to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. Let me give you an example that's kind of parallel. If you were here when we were going through the book of Romans, 1 through 8, you might have heard me say something like this. We don't become holy, and I believe this is Paul's message in the book of Romans. We don't become holy by trying to be more holy. Because the thing is that we can't do it. We don't have the strength. We are sinful, broken people, and what we need is not more effort on our part, we need more of God's power. In fact, what Paul is so clear to say to us in the book of Romans is that we are declared to be holy. And it's not because of anything we do, it's because of what Jesus did. And so we're declared to be holy, and in a book that we were reading this summer, we were observing the fact that this Christian faith is really the only place that you will find this, where the declaration of holiness comes before the performance. In almost every other system of Christian faith, we're trying to gain favor with God. In Christian faith, we are declared holy because of the work of Jesus. And then what comes out of that is a response. A response of growing in holiness, growing in learning what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. And I really believe that becoming wholehearted followers of Jesus is not simply trying to become a better person, because I don't know about you, but I will fail. And so there's something else we need to do to wrestle with our own hearts. And it really becomes this question of the heart that we've been reflecting on already this morning. So the question I need to ask is, what do I love the most? What's really capturing my heart? What's really capturing my imagination? And in this way, we discover our true allegiance, and we learn together to become wholehearted followers of Jesus. It's a question we want to wrestle with in an ongoing way. We're going to take 2 Sundays on this theme of wholehearted followers of Jesus. So today, we're going to go into Proverbs 4. The fourth chapter of Proverbs is an amazing passage, and we want to look at this idea of guarding our hearts. Next week, Marcus will lead us into Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we want to talk about the priority of love and the related passages to that. And remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. So today then, let's reflect on Proverbs chapter 4. Let me invite you to turn there in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 4. And here's the dominant theme here of Proverbs chapter 4. It comes really from one verse. In verse 23, it says this, above all else, here's the word from the preacher in Proverbs says to us, above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because everything you do flows out of your heart. Everything you do flows out of your heart. So here's the word from the preacher to us. Guard your heart. What does it mean to guard your heart? What does it mean that everything you do flows from it? The word is translated in some different ways, this latter part of the verse, everything you do flows from it. But the picture is really a surge of water. It springs from your heart. Everything you do comes from inside. Everything you do, the heart is the center of who you are. Everything else you do comes from it. There's a picture of a spring here, and this comes from northeastern part of Slovenia, apparently. But it's a spring of water that's surging out of the ground. And this is the idea in the latter part of this verse, that what's in your heart comes out of you. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, but it comes from your heart. And so the preacher wants to help us today to remember to guard our hearts. And we want to wrestle with what this means. The heart is the central organ of the body in the wisdom literature. It is the basic orientation of the person. So it involves our desires, our emotions, our attitudes. In Proverbs chapter 4, we have a wonderful privilege. It's a privilege and opportunity to listen in on a multi-generational giving of wisdom. The early part of the book of Proverbs is a series of speeches. It's a series of speeches by usually a father to a son or a father to a family. And in chapter 4, we have a speech that comes from a father, but it's not just the father. The father is also drawing from his father. And so we have grandfather and we have father and we have children and we have this beautiful privilege to observe this wisdom literature. Let me just pay attention for a moment to the nature of biblical wisdom literature. And we need to remind ourselves what wisdom literature is and what it is not. So when we come to books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, we need to remember wisdom literature is not the same as law. For example, Exodus, Leviticus, where we find a lot of thou shalt not, and God is defining the boundaries of the community of human living. This is not law that we find in wisdom literature, nor is it prophecy. In the prophets, we find God saying to special messengers and giving them a message that they in turn give to the people, and they say, thus says the Lord, he has said, this is coming, or you should turn from evil, etc. It's different from that. Wisdom literature is exploring how to live well in God's world. This is really what the nature of wisdom literature is. Wisdom is the accumulated insight of God's people through the generations. And so we have this beautiful illustration of this morning. The grandfather, the father, and the children in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's begin. Chapter 4, verse 1. This is the father speaking. He says this, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I will give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me, and he said to me. And then what we find in the next few verses is what I want to call grandfather's wisdom. Right, so this is grandfather talking to the father. And as we read through these words, I want to invite you to listen carefully and look for the key words. What is really at the heart of grandfather's wisdom here? Begins in verse 4. Take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost you all that you have, get understanding. Cherish her. She will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and to present you with a glorious crown. I want to put all of the words on the screen here of this whole section. You can see it all at once here. What are the key words? What is grandfather telling us? Get what? Wisdom, understanding. He's quite enthusiastic about this, would you say? Get wisdom. Even if it costs everything you have in life, get wisdom, get understanding. What is it? There's a cluster of words in wisdom literature that are wisdom, understanding. What do these words really mean? Well, we're not going to take the time this morning because it's not our main point, but really it's about not just knowledge, but how to use knowledge and live knowledge, how to use knowledge well. So to gain knowledge and to use it well in your life, this is wisdom. What is our relationship to wisdom supposed to be, according to Grandfather? He says, love her, and she will watch over you. Cherish her, she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. If you read through the Proverbs and other wisdom literature, wisdom is presented as a lady, Lady Wisdom. And we're really invited to love Lady Wisdom. And what's the result of that? Well, what Grandfather says to us is that wisdom will make you look really good. Wisdom will make you beautiful. Wisdom will make you become the person, the beautiful person that God intended you to be. I believe that's what Grandfather wants to say to us. Well, Father picks it up in verse 10 and he says this, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Before we move from this screen, what is the metaphor that Father is using here? It's a metaphor of pathways. It's a metaphor of life as a pathway. And there's a choice. There's two pathways here. Let's read on to see how he describes these two pathways. Verse 14, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your own way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Verse 18 gives us the opposite picture. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Again, let's put all of these words on one screen and just observe the difference in these two pathways. Father is making a plea to his children. Choose the path wisely. Here's the thing about life, in my experience, is that sometimes, although the path of the wicked is described as a pretty awful thing right here, sometimes the path of the wicked looks pretty attractive, doesn't it? It's pretty inviting. And the preacher is saying to us, as he's saying to his family, choose well, choose the path well. And then, as we come to verse 20, the metaphor changes. It's a different metaphor. His father is still talking. He says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Verse 25, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep your corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So there's a little bit of a switch in the metaphor. What's the metaphor in this last section here? We can see it all on one screen here again. If you go one more, you can see the words in red represent different parts of the body. And what he seems to be saying to us here in these words is that from your heart, whatever's in your heart is going to come out in every part of your body. It's going to come out in your ears, in your eyes, your feet. Above all else, this is the word to us today. Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. because everything you do flows from it. I want us to think about this question about guarding our hearts. And I want to ask the question, how do we guard our hearts? How do we do it? I want to suggest to you that being wholehearted followers of Jesus is not a plateau that we attain to. It's not like we're working our way up towards being wholehearted followers of Jesus and then we become and then we stay there. Life isn't like that. Becoming wholehearted followers of Jesus is an ongoing, daily paying attention to my heart. Because I know that every day my heart is at risk of being distracted by some kind of temptation in the world that would take me away from being wholeheartedly loving Jesus. So how can we help each other? This is the question I want to wrestle with this morning. How can we help each other to pay attention to what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus? I want to suggest, first of all, that we check our hearts, and we did that already in our time of prayer. We were checking our hearts, we were looking, and what I believe is that each one of our hearts is different. We're not made the same. But each one of us has particular danger points. Each one of us has particular points where we are most easily distracted away from loving Jesus, first of all. And so we need to pay attention to ourselves. This is the preacher's call to us. Pay attention to who you are. Know who you are. Know the danger points for you especially. I've listed a few examples here, which there are so many more. But let's think about money, for example. Money is not bad in itself. In fact, money is good. We need money, right? How do we live in our world without money? We can't. But if money becomes the object, if money becomes what my heart is striving after most of all, then money has suddenly become the master instead of the servant of life. And the preacher is trying to help us to guard our hearts from anything becoming the master except for Jesus. And so we guard our hearts so that that doesn't happen. Maybe money isn't what your area of temptation is. Maybe it's power and authority, and power and authority is good. I mean, if we use authority well, we can organize groups and people, we can be good leaders. But if our hearts are thirsting for that power and authority, then again, it becomes a master instead of a servant. It's the same with our jobs. We think about sex. Sex is a beautiful gift from God to human life. Human life doesn't exist without it. But we live in a world that is so sadly twisted and sexualized. And God gave this gift of sexual practice to be held within the covenant bonds of a marriage relationship. And when we take it out of there, sex becomes the master instead of the servant, the beautiful servant it was intended to be. And it's true for every area of life. We need to examine our hearts. We need to know our hearts. We need to know what are those things that are capturing my heart and drawing my love away from God and towards that thing. Anything that becomes our place of our first love becomes an idol to us. So what should we do when we find that happening? It's not just a matter of struggling harder to resist temptation. Let me suggest another possible scenario here. I suggest what we need to do, what we need to help each other do, is to reorient our loves. Because it's really a question of what do we love the most? What's capturing my heart? What do I love most? What's capturing my attention? Let me give you another picture here. This illustration has helped me. This is a satellite dish. This one happens to be in Germany, and it's a very big one. But satellite dishes come in all sizes. But what's the thing about satellite dishes? They're adjustable, right? You can move them. You tune in the input that you need. You tune in the input that you want. And for me, this has become a helpful picture for my own heart. What am I tuning into? What am I listening to? What am I watching? What am I paying attention to? Where am I drawing life from? I believe that the preacher wants to help us to wrestle with this in our hearts. And he wants to say, guard your hearts. Be careful not to allow this input to come from places that will take you away from loving Jesus most of all. I also like this picture on the right. It's two hands with a heart in the middle of it. And the question here really is, to whom or to what are you lifting up your heart? The heart is at once a fragile organ in our body, right? But it's the center of who we are. To whom are you lifting your heart as allegiance right now? This is the question that the preacher wants to ask us. What is really capturing your imagination? What is really capturing your love? And this is the message from the preacher to us. Guard your hearts. Because everything you do in life comes from there. This is something that we need to do individually. But it is also something that we must do corporately. Jesus never imagined life as solitary Christians. He always imagined life together as the body. So how can we be wholehearted followers of Jesus together? How can we discover, seeking together to discover what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus? And I would like to take a few minutes here just to describe how we have chosen, based on this purpose statement, how we have chosen to organize ourselves and to invite you to participate in the life of International Church of Bishkek. If you've been here a couple of years or even a year or more, you've probably seen this before. This is our ICB tree. But a couple of ways, this is the life of the community is here, but before we populate the tree, I want us to notice that we are really rooted in Jesus. We really want to be rooted in the Word. We want to be discovering together what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. We also have this verse here, which as we were creating this structure, we found this verse in Revelation 22. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And it's our desire that the leaves of the tree of our church would be for the healing of the nations. There are so many nations that need healing. There are people from so many nations that need healing. It's our desire that our community would be a healing place. But this is how we've chosen to populate our tree. We, as we looked at all the different ministries that are possible within our group, we found these seven areas right here. And these are seven cluster areas of ministries. Let me just walk through each of them. And we're looking for you to participate in one of more of these areas. So outreach is anything that serves to take the message outside of our walls, to our city, to our neighbor, to our country, to our to the world. There's a few areas of ministries involved in that outreach area. Music and worship is an important part of our meeting together. And if you're musical, have a desire to be involved in music, there will be very soon an opportunity for you to sign up to be part of a larger meeting that we're hoping to have to talk about music and worship and what it is and how we can lead each other to worship well through the gift of music. Education is a cluster of ministries that includes everything to do with teaching. So it includes planning our Sunday morning teaching series and where are we going and what are we taking from the Word together. It includes our children's ministry. It includes seminars. We are having a parenting children's seminar coming up starting this week. We have some other seminars planned. So anything to do with teaching is in this education cluster of ministries. Logistics is the whole idea of serving one another in very practical ways. And we're trying to get a number of teams. We have a number of teams working for things like setting up chairs, helping in the kitchen, helping with the computer, different ways to serve each other in very practical ways. That's logistics. Kids and youth, we want to honor our children, honor our families. We're looking for people who have gifts and skills and would like to work in that area. Community life. 45 of us or so went up the mountain yesterday and had a nice time walking in the hills. meals, just spending time together. We want to do those kinds of fun things together, giving people opportunity to build relationships with each other. We'd love to see you participate. There's a number of other events coming up like that. Community life also includes our small groups. We want to see people meeting together in smaller groups, getting to know one another, hearing the word together, anything that ties us together as a community is included in community life. We have a prayer cluster of ministries. We want to be a people who pray for each other. And it's our desire to really promote this idea that we do pray for each other spontaneously. We have prayer in between our services where people can come for prayer, but we want it to be something that spreads through our whole community. So we have these seven cluster areas of ministry. Marcus and I serve as pastors here. And then we have three part-time staff people who help us, a director, treasurer, administrator, and together this group with Marcus and I and the cluster leaders form what we're calling the ministry leadership team, whom you'll meet next week. Next Sunday, we're planning to have in our courtyard seven tents. We have seven tents. We're going to set up one for each of those cluster areas of ministry. And what we'd love for you to do is just spend time going and talking with the leaders of those clusters, looking for opportunities to be involved and connected to the community here at the International Church of Bishkek. But underneath it all is our desire that together we would discover and learn and help one another learn what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. Lord, we come to you. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it speaks so directly to our hearts. I thank you for the preacher here in Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, that helps us to really pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on inside of us. Oh Lord, let us do that with integrity, with honesty before you. And let us help each other on the journey of every day giving our hearts over to you, of repenting and turning away from those things that have distracted us away from you, and simply learning to live in the light of your love and your glory and your presence every day. Help us to give each other courage and hope to do that well. We offer you ourselves today. Would you lead us? Would you guide us together to be your people in this place? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.